Sue and David are going to come and bring our Bible readings to us.
The first reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and verses 1 to 12. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, carrying the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the entrance to the tomb, so they went in. But they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They stood there puzzled about this, when suddenly two men in bright shining clothes stood by them. Full of fear, the women bowed to the ground as the men said to them, "Why are you looking among the dead for one who is alive? He is not here. He has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was in Galilee. The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and 3 days later rise to life." And then the women remembered his words, returned from the tomb, and told all these things to the 11 disciples and all the rest. The women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. They and the other women with them told these things to the apostles. But the apostles thought that what the women said was nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. He bent down and saw the grave cloths, but nothing else. And then he went back home, amazed at what had happened.
So our second reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Christ, the power and the wisdom of God. For the message about Christ's death on the cross is nonsense to those who are being lost, but for us who are being saved, it is God's power. The scripture says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and set aside the understanding of the scholars." So then, where does that leave the wise, or the scholars, or the skillful debaters of the world? God has shown that this world's wisdom is foolishness. For God, in his wisdom, made it impossible for people to know him by means of their own wisdom. Instead, by means of the so-called foolish message we preach, God decided to save those who believe. Jews want miracles for proof, and Greeks look for wisdom. As for us, we proclaim the crucified Christ, a message that is offensive to the Jews and nonsense to the Gentiles. But for those whom God has called, both Jews and Gentiles, this message is Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For what seems to be God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and what seems to be God's weakness is stronger than human strength. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you so much for your word to us today. Lord, please open our minds and reveal to us new truths. Help us to have a fresh sense of the awe and the wonder and the joy of meeting the risen Saviour. Help us to welcome you afresh into our lives and be ready to do whatever you ask of us. In Jesus' name, amen. For years, this day is a day that some people have really looked forward to. They've planned their celebrations carefully. They've looked forward to drawing people in. And many people have been taken in. Not by Easter Day, but by April Fool's Day. Today, there's so much fake news around, it seems something of a non-event. But there were some great stories years ago. Hands up if you can remember the Panorama story that declared that pasta grew on trees. Now, for those younger ones, the BBC took us to Switzerland, where a mild winter had apparently led to a bumper crop of pasta. Now, I thought I remembered this, but apparently this was in 1957, so that's way before my time. Now, what about the news from Sir Patrick Moore in 1976 that an alignment of Pluto and Jupiter, which would take place at 9:47 in the morning, would result in a gravitational pull that would counteract the Earth's own gravity, making people momentarily weightless? Who remembers that one? Yeah, a few people do. Now, he told listeners that if they jumped up and down while this was happening, they would experience a strange floating sensation. And hundreds of people claimed to experience it. More recently, there was the story the BBC had discovered penguins in the Antarctic that could fly. Anyone remember that one? That was much more recent. And Terry Jones explained that instead of huddling together to endure the Antarctic winter, these penguins took to the air, flew thousands of miles to the rainforests of South America, and then they spent the winter basking in the tropical sun. Now, I've not seen the news yet today, so I don't know what people have come up with so far. But I've got no doubt there will be some people who try to make a connection between Easter Day and April Fool's Day. Because to many people today, and over the last 2,000 years, the message of Jesus' resurrection is nonsense. They say it is something that only a fool would believe in. And in some ways, it's easy to understand why people would think like that. Because what we're talking about is something that seems impossible. So impossible, in fact, that even the disciples struggled to believe it had happened. Whether the resurrection is something that you are struggling to make sense of today, or whether it's something that you know others consider to be a nonsense, let's take a moment to look at this account of the resurrection from Luke's Gospel, to consider the reactions of those first disciples, and in particular, look at the journey they went on from doubt and confusion to believing and rejoicing in the risen Lord. Luke tells us that some women, whom he later says includes Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to the tomb with spices they'd prepared for Jesus' body. They discovered that the huge stone that had sealed the tomb had been moved. So they went inside, and there they found that the body of Jesus was not there. The familiarity of the story, I think, doesn't help us to grasp the confusion and the despair that the women must have felt at that moment. Puzzled, which is what we heard they were, seems a bit of an understatement to me. These women were probably still coming to terms with the fact that they had seen Jesus crucified. They were struggling to understand quite why his life would even end in this way. And now, someone appears to have rolled the stone away from the tomb, and they've got no idea what's happened to the body of Jesus. Nothing made sense. But they didn't have long in their confusion, as we heard that two men in bright shining clothes appeared before them. Now, the women seemed to know that these men were something special, even messengers from God. And they bowed to the ground. And in verse 5, we heard the men said, "Why are you looking among the dead for one who is alive? He is not here. He has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was in Galilee? The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and 3 days later rise to life." And Luke goes on to say that the women remembered Jesus' words, returned from the tomb, and told all these things to the 11 disciples and all the rest. Now, I really think that when Luke is telling this resurrection account, one of the things he's trying to emphasize is the need for the women to remember what Jesus had told them. If you were here last week, you'll know we looked at another time when Jesus predicted his death and resurrection. And quite understandably, the disciples couldn't grasp what he was telling them. After all, why would they? As we've already said, what Jesus did seems an impossible thing, even after the event. So how would they ever make sense of it before it happened? But now the women and the disciples could remember Jesus' words. And remembering is a key to understanding what is happening. Through their remembering, they could begin to make some sense of what was going on. They still didn't know how it had happened, but they knew that what Jesus had said was true. What the disciples, both the men and the women, were beginning to grasp is that God keeps his word, even if it does seem impossible. I think there are times for all of us when it is hard to keep believing. And at those times, our faith starts to waver. Doubts begin to creep in. Perhaps even at this moment, we, like the women, are struggling to make sense of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Perhaps we have far more questions than we have answers. Questions and doubts are not a bad thing. God can cope with all of them. But as Paul emphasized to the Corinthians, we cannot possibly understand everything just by our own wisdom. It is right to use our brains and to think things through. It is right to try to learn and gain understanding. But if we're looking to find all of the answers about God and his plan for our lives just through human knowledge, then there will come a point when we just get stuck. When we're struggling to believe, we need to learn from the experience the women had at the empty tomb and go back and listen to God's words. Remember what he said, because even if we don't know how he will work, he is faithful to his word. Luke tells us that the women then went straight back to the disciples and told them what had happened. But in verse 11 we heard the apostles thought that what the women said was nonsense, and they did not believe them. Even though the disciples had heard Jesus talk about the fact he would die and rise to life, even though they had seen him perform many miracles before, yet they still didn't appear to be remembering any of this. They refused to believe the women, dismissing their words as idle talk. But, Luke tells us, Peter got up and ran to the tomb. He bent down and saw the linen wrappings, but nothing else. And he went home amazed at what had happened. There was something in what the women had said that made Peter want to go and see for himself. And when he arrived at the tomb, he too found that the stone had been rolled away. He knew that wasn't nonsense. But he saw something else too. He saw linen wrappings. Now, there were no angels to greet him, but the body of Jesus was also not there. And the fact that he found the cloth that would have wrapped Jesus' body was a strong indication that the body had not been stolen. After all, what thief would stop to unwrap the body before running off with it? But Luke tells us, after witnessing these things, Peter went back home amazed at what had happened. There have been many discussions amongst theologians over the years as to whether Peter was convinced at that moment in time that Jesus was alive and had risen. The word that Luke used that we heard as amazed could be translated as wondering or marvelling. Clearly, Peter was convinced that God was at work. He was in awe of what had happened. I think it was likely at this stage he wasn't completely convinced that Jesus was alive, but he knew God was at work. And what is significant is that whereas the other disciples were left sitting in a state of disbelief, Peter's journey had enabled him to take a few steps of faith towards the risen Lord. Now, Peter had an advantage over us in that he was able to see the empty tomb for himself. Quite often, when we want to believe something, don't we look for proof? We want evidence that it's true. After all, we don't want to look foolish. And for Peter and the disciples, they'd invested so much of their lives in following Jesus. Then they'd had to stand and watch him die on a cross. What they saw was devastating. And so you couldn't really blame them for being afraid to believe. I'm sure they wouldn't have wanted to get their hopes up only to be left heartbroken again. As Paul said to the Corinthians, some people look to find proof in miracles, but God decided to save those who believe. It's not wrong to investigate the facts. It's not a bad thing to want to see some evidence. But there are some things that you cannot prove. And it's at times like that when we need to take a step of faith, open ourselves up to Jesus, dare to believe, and trust in God for the rest. The account that we've read today from Luke's Gospel depicts one of a number of experiences that the disciples had after Jesus had died, and some of which they met the risen Lord themselves. As with the women who visited the tomb, the rest of the disciples didn't keep their experiences to themselves, but they told others so that they too might have an opportunity to believe. You know, it can't have been easy for the disciples to share this news. Some people would have thought they were deluded. Perhaps they just refused to accept that their friend had died. But at the same time, what they were saying was causing quite a stir amongst the Romans and the religious authorities. And they were actually risking their lives in telling people that Jesus had risen. But they had to tell people, not just because they were excited to have seen Jesus, but because they realised that God had been at work in the most amazing and incredible way. You see, the resurrection changes everything. Because Jesus is risen, we can enter God's kingdom and be reconciled with him just as he promised. Because Jesus is risen, we can be forgiven. Because Jesus is risen, we have a hope and a new purpose. Because Jesus is risen, we can live in the security that we are loved by the living God, and he wants us to know him and experience him in our lives. And you know, that's only the beginning. Having seen that Jesus is alive, we need to do more than return home amazed. Like Mary and Joanna, we should be rushing back to tell our friends what we've seen and heard and experienced. The resurrection of Jesus is not some fairy story. It's not a dream of wishful thinking. It is the truth that was first told by eyewitnesses and continues to be told by those who have experienced the power of the risen Lord themselves. It really is good news, the best news. But having said that, We should also remember that when we share this news, we do need to be patient with those who are listening. As Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, the message about Christ's death on the cross is nonsense to those who are being lost. But for those who are being saved, it is God's power. Even the disciples who'd been told by Jesus that he would suffer and die and then rise to life struggled to believe it at first. So we should not be surprised if people don't immediately believe what we say. It is only natural that we struggle. But that should not prevent us from speaking out. If anything, it should inspire us even more to live by Jesus' values and help others to see the reality of his love in our own lives. And it should also encourage us to get praying for our friends, because we need the Holy Spirit to be at work in their lives to enable them to come to a place of belief. So today, as we celebrate the risen Lord, let me encourage you to listen again to God's words. Remember what he said and know that he keeps his word, even if it seems impossible. The power of God that enabled Jesus to rise again is still the power that God has today. And God can be trusted. So seek to discover more about Jesus and understand more about God, but also be prepared to take a step of faith and believe too. And make it a priority not to just wait and see if the subject comes up, but to proactively share with others the difference that Jesus has made to your life. Help them to know the truth that he's risen and that they too can be part of his kingdom. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you that Jesus is alive. He is risen. And what a difference that makes to our lives. Lord, I pray for each of us this morning that has questions and doubts, that is struggling to believe. Help us to know that your promises are always true, that you are faithful to your word. Give us the courage to take a step of faith and believe. Help us, even when life around us does not make sense, to trust in you and to see how faithful you are. And Lord, for each of us, give us a fresh boldness to go and tell others what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have experienced, so that they too might know the difference you can make to their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.